Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A documentary airing on RTE One tonight is set to reveal a series of allegations against Eamon Casey that will radically alter the image of the deceased former bishop. Bishop Casey's buried secrets examines the Catholic Church's handling of sex abuse allegations made against him. Irish Mail on Sunday reporter Anne Sheridan joined me in studio earlier on to discuss the film made with RTE. I began by asking her, remind us, please, how it is that Eamon Casey's career ended in such a dramatic fall from grace.
It happened in May 1992 that the Irish Times broke the story, and it was really quite seismic, Philip, and there was a series of bombshells that I think went off around the country, and it shocked a lot of people, and it certainly shook the faithful quite dramatically. What they revealed in the first instance was that he had an affair with his distant American cousin, Annie Murphy, who was then more than 20 years his junior, that he had fathered a child in secret in 1974, his son Peter. And what I think most upset the faithful at that point was that he denied his son for most of his adult life, really, to be honest. Peter was aged 15 when he finally met him. And when Peter met his father, he said that he felt that he represented the end of everything that he had worked for his entire life. There was another added element to that, which was that when Peter was born, the Bishop Casey used diocesan funds to pay for his son's education. Now, those monies were later repaid, but nonetheless, there were three elements to the story that were quite shocking, both to the clergy and also to the faithful. I think what was very difficult for the public to grasp was that Bishop Casey was a man who was seen as an innovator. He galvanised the masses. He was a champion for social justice and peace. He very much spoke up for the homeless, the marginalised, the poor, the travelling community, and also for a lot of social injustices throughout the world. He was also someone that people felt that they could relate to. He was a move away from the austere, the rigid, the unbending sense of the Catholic Church that a lot of people had known up to that point in time. So they felt they could much trust him. And when these revelations broke, it was almost like that he had broken his trust with them.
It wasn't just, though, about the drama of the individuals involved in those events. It turned, with the benefit of hindsight, out to be a pivot point in the standing of the Catholic Church in this country.
Yes, I think a lot of people would say that it began a drift away from the Catholic Church, which gained momentum. Bishop Casey, originally, he would have been seen as the church's new great hope, certainly in the 1960s in London, where he was working as a young priest. He very much motivated the young Irish immigrant community there. The church authorities would have seen this. He also featured at that time in an RT programme called Ryark, an old black and white programme, which delved into his work and which actually inspired a lot of young men towards the priesthood at that point in time. But as you have said, when the revelations broke in 1992, it started a crumbling of not only of people's faith, but of the strongholds that the church had on the country.
Those were all of the known facts. But as we have been reading yesterday and this morning, there were actually at the time sexual abuse claims made against Eamon Casey. What can you tell us about those?
There were five sexual abuse claims against Eamon Casey, five sexual abuse claims relating to children and teenage girls. Those allegations date right back to the 1950s when he was a young curate in Limerick. The first allegation is from a teenage girl. She was aged 15 at the time. She claimed that it happened in and around 1955, 1956. She was in St. Joseph's Reformatory School and Magdalen Laundry in Limerick. Now, it would take almost 18 years for this young girl to break free of the Magdalen Laundries. And it was some years later that she finally made a complaint against Bishop Casey. She took a case to the High Court. She was later forced to drop that case. It was subsumed into the Residential Institutions Redress Board, and then she was legally prohibited from ever speaking out about the case. However, we have gained...
Was she compensated through the redress board?
She was, yes. She received a settlement of over €40,000 plus a similar amount in costs as well. We have an audio account of her life. She has since died. She will be seen for the first time ever on TV this Monday night, as well as her son, who is speaking about the case and the damage that it did to her over quite a period of time. In addition to that case, there are four other complaints of child sexual abuse. The next one, in terms of chronological order, is by Bishop Casey's own niece, Patricia Donovan. She claims that she was sexually assaulted and abused from the age of five, from the late 1960s, for more than 10 years. Patricia was the only individual that we have established that went directly to the Gardaí to report her claim. She wasn't interested in compensation. What she was looking for was to protect other children. She said what first prompted her to go to the Gardaí or to the police in the UK, as she was living at that time, was that she had learned that Bishop Casey was staying overnight in a house where there was a teenage girl. And she said that was what was in her mind when she picked up the phone. She said that if she was merely thinking about herself, she doesn't know if she would have actually proceeded with this because of the risk to herself and the fallout that she knew it was going to inevitably cause. So the five complaints date from the 1950s to the 1980s. They cover a period of four decades, obviously. They happened in every Irish diocese where he served. There was three complaints in Limerick. There was one complaint in Kerry. There was another complaint in Galway, which relates to the 1980s. At that time, he was the Bishop of Galway. There was also complaints that relate to his time as the Bishop of Kerry, and again to his time also in Limerick in his very young early days as a priest.
He tendered his resignation in 1992, going to the Vatican to do it in person, and he moved on to missionary work in Ecuador, eventually to be allowed back into the UK, but not to Ireland.
That's correct. I think the church really had a quandary on their hands when it came to Bishop Casey's return to the UK or Ireland. There was a statement at that time from Cardinal Basil Hume, who was in charge of the Archdiocese of Westminster, which includes Slough, where Eamon Casey was previously based in the 1960s. Now, Cardinal Basil Hume said at that time that there were very many reasons why it would be inappropriate for Bishop Casey to return to his diocese. Now, eventually a position was found for him in the Diocese of Arundel and Brighton, and he was chaplain there for a number of years. What we will reveal in the programme tonight is that the very first allegation of abuse was sent from the Diocese of Limerick in 2001 to the Diocese of Arundel and Brighton. That went missing at that time. They say they can't offer any explanation as to how that record was lost. But at that time, if that complaint had been appropriately received and handled, that he should have stepped down immediately, he would have been suspended from all work.
That was 2001.
That was 2001, yes.
It was 2005, wasn't it, before he was removed from ministry?
That's correct, yes. So the church, when the Diocese of Arundel and Brighton received the complaint at that time, they did follow all protocols and child safeguarding concerns. They suspended him from all parish work. There was obviously consultations with the Diocese of Galway, which had ultimate responsibility for him because it was the last position that he held. A decision was made to send him back to Ireland. He was under suspension at that time. While the church was also investigating his complaint, there was also a Garda investigation underway into Patricia Donovan's complaint. That investigation by the Gardaí concluded in and around August 2006. The DPP directed that no prosecution be brought against him. However, the church was still investigating Bishop Casey. And we now know that by the time a decision was made in and around 2005-2007, that they had at least three child abuse allegations on file against him.
What explanation was ever made publicly, if any indeed, by the church as to why he was removed from ministry in 2005?
There was no public statement ever made by the church in terms of his removal or his suspension or the restriction on his ministry at all.
Big question here. Do we know why the Vatican, why the church never communicated any of this to the public?
I think there's a number of complex issues there, and it's probably there's a quite a simple answer as well too. I think Bishop Casey had brought such turbulence upon the church that they wanted to keep the scandal at this point in time to a minimum. Normally, if you have a priest accused of a serious accusation such as child sexual abuse, the bishop in charge of that diocese may make a statement at the pulpit or at Sunday Mass, and he might outline the reasons for removing someone from ministry or suspending them from ministry. Now, the important part of this also is that we have to remember that Bishop Casey was never laicized. He remained a priest until his dying day. The church never stripped him of that honour.
But there were restrictions that were placed upon him, weren't there?
There were. There were a number of restrictions placed upon him.
Did he observe them?
No, not in all cases. He breached them on a number of occasions. So the decree set out from the Vatican would have stipulated that he could never say Mass in public. He could only say Mass in the privacy of his own home. He could only attend Mass as a member of the congregation. He was not allowed to wear clerical garb. He was not allowed to present himself as a priest in good standing. And he also wasn't allowed to give any media interviews. Now, we have numerous examples in Limerick and in Wexford, as well as confirmation in Galway and from the Galway Diocese, that he breached those restrictions on a number of occasions.
But because the Vatican had never made the terms of those restrictions public, none of us were any the wiser as to what it was that he was or wasn't breaching.
Exactly. The public were completely kept in the dark for a very long time.
So the documentary is on tonight. At what time was it called?
It's on at 9:35 and it's called Bishop Casey's Buried Secrets.
Anne Sheridan, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.